Let me bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here today. We say it so often, we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good together. So thank you for your attendance. Appreciate that very, very much. Your desire to assemble, to give worship and praise to God. There is an outline. It's on the back of the bulletin this morning. If you didn't receive one, there are some copies in the foyer. You're very welcome to get up and get a bulletin and an outline. Just come back in. But ask my brethren to look around. And kind of, if you see someone without one, please share. As Rick said in his introduction to the reading, the lesson is taken from Luke chapter 24, really the entire chapter. And I've titled this The Grand Openings in Luke chapter 24, and I've listed at least seven of them. There may be some more. I won't be reading the entire chapter, but just referencing these seven occasions where that word opening or like phrase is used. By way of introduction, to many of Jesus' disciples, the crucifixion of Jesus was the end. They thought it was all over. The master teacher has been crucified. He's been betrayed by Judas in Gethsemane. And when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples fled. They didn't stay with him. Then Jesus goes through a series of mock trials. He's scourged. He's delivered to be crucified. He dies on the cross. Joseph and Nicodemus come and beg Pilate for the body of Jesus. They take it down from the cross and they bury it in a tomb. To the disciples, that has the appearance that everything is over. The door's closed. It's the end. It's finished. There's no more. It's a conclusion. It's the amen. Let's go home. That was the thought. They fled. And then in Luke 24, we have the grand announcement by these two men at the tomb of Jesus to the ladies that are gathered there to finish the preparation for his burial. The two men said to the ladies in verse 6, he's not here. He's risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why would you do that? Oh. This is the beginning of several openings in the chapter of Luke, chapter 24. Paul Harvey would say, if you have to be old enough to know who Paul Harvey is, the rest of the story. So here it is. Number one, and you know, it's the open tomb. That was the text that was read to us. In the beginning of verse 1, it's the first day of the week, Lord's Day. Very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher. They brought spices, which they prepared. And there were certain others with them, the ladies. They found the stone rolled away. They entered in and didn't find the body of Jesus. You see, that's startling to them because, first of all, the tomb was not supposed to be open. Nope, it was sealed, remember, with that stone? And in Matthew records it this way, after the crucifixion of Jesus, in Matthew 27, verse 62, the next day, meaning the day after the crucifixion day, the chief priests and the elders came together to Pilate. And they said, sir, to Pilate, we remember that that deceiver, meaning Jesus, while he was yet alive, said after 3 days he'll rise again. So they said to Pilate, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and they'll say to the people, he's risen from the dead. Well, Pilate said to them, you have a watch, meaning a group of soldiers. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So So they went, they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. That tomb was not supposed to be open. A great stone covered the opening of the tomb. It was sealed. In other words, they put that patch around it. And it was guarded. Then Matthew 28, verse 2 says it this way. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. So to see the tomb was opened so that the disciples could see in. And they could see that it was empty. The disciples did not steal the body like the scribes and the Pharisees said to Pilate. Oh, you know what? The disciples are going to steal the body. Let's seal it. Roll the stone in front of it. There wasn't a claim that a resurrection had taken place. And number one's an open tomb. Number two, there was an open memory. An open memory. The angel said to the women that are at the tomb, they've already looked in, it's empty. In Luke 24, beginning at verse 6, angel said, he's not here. Risen. Then the next phrase is, remember how he spoke to you while he was yet in Galilee? And he said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again? Remember those words? The next phrase is, and they remembered his words. Number one, the tomb was open. Number two, they opened the memory of the ladies that came to prepare the body for burial, add the spices to the body. You see, Jesus had told his disciples and others that he was going to be crucified and buried and rise the third day. One place is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Jesus said, and as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said it again in Matthew chapter 20, verse 18. The Son of Man will be betrayed under the chief priests and scribes. They'll condemn him to death. They'll deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify. And the third day he shall rise. In John chapter 2 and verse 19, Jesus told his disciples, destroy this temple, this body, and in 3 days it'll rise up. Oh, so now the ladies come to the tomb. First of all, number one, they find it empty. And second, the angel opened their memory. Remember how he said, oh, that's right. He did say there he would rise again. So they remember the words and they go and tell the other disciples. You know, tombs today are famous for the bodies they contain. This tomb is famous for being empty. Those are the first points. They opened the tomb was opened, and an angel opened their memory. Jesus said this would take place. Number three and four are together in the notes. He opened their eyes and he opened the scriptures. These two go together. But it's in verse 31. So their eyes were opened and they knew him. See, before their eyes could be opened and before they could know him, they had to remember the scriptures. Oh, they had to remember prophecy. It's in verses 10 and 11. Verse 31 says, eyes are open, but it has to go back to verses 10 and 11. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Oh, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. Remember, they didn't expect Jesus to rise again. They fled when he was arrested in the garden. Oh, they thought it was all over. Said and done. Oh, but there's a resurrection. The women go and tell the disciples. He rose up again. The tomb was empty. We went in, but the disciples said, no, I don't think so. The next phrase is in Luke 24, verse 11. They believed them not. Oh, ladies, are you sure you saw an open tomb? Did you go in?
Yeah.
In verse 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him or recognize him. When they left the tomb and met Jesus on the road, they thought he was the gardener. Can't be a resurrected Jesus, the disciples thought. In verse 26, then he said to them, O foolish and slow of heart to believe. You're slow of heart to believe? Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. And so then Jesus teaches them from the scriptures. And then that phrase is in verse 31, then their eyes were open. Ah, tell us the scriptures. So evidently, Jesus didn't want them to recognize him in the flesh until they had seen him in the scriptures. No doubt Jesus wanted them to know him on the basis of faith. Believe the prophets. You see the one standing here? I'm the one that they foretold about. Well, they remembered that he did say it. And he would rise the third day, but they didn't believe it when it happened. Oh, slow of heart to believe. So Jesus, first of all, opened their eyes. But that takes us to point number four in your notes. The next verse, verse 32. It says, and they said to one another, after he gives them the scriptures and opens their eyes, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures to us? Oh, he opened the scriptures so that he could open their eyes. Now, we saw the empty tomb. But we don't believe until you open the scriptures to us. In verse 27, he goes back and it's Jesus, or the verse says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, meaning Jesus, expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him. See, one reason when we assemble for worship, we open the scriptures. When we deliver a lesson, or we have our Bible class, we open the scriptures in order to have our eyes opened to understand. We open the scriptures. I wish Luke had given an outline of what Jesus said. What scriptures did you open, Jesus? Because I want to open the same ones so the audience can believe. I want to open those scriptures too so that the audience can understand. I wonder when they were walking with him, not knowing him, and he opens up the scriptures and he opens them up in such a way that it causes the heart to burn and to open their eyes. Jesus, what did you say? Did you tell them that you were to be born of the tribe of Judah? Did you remind them of that? Did you remind them of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 7, that he would be in the line of David? What did you tell them? Did you tell them about the prophet Micah in chapter 5, verse 2, that he would be born in Bethlehem? What did you tell them? Did you tell them about the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14, that I was to be born of a virgin? What did you tell them, Jesus? Did you tell them that you were going to be betrayed by a disciple in Psalm 41, verse 9? Psalm of David? Did you tell them that? What did you tell them? Did you tell them that there would be silence at your trial, according to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53? Did you tell them that vinegar and gall would be offered to you when you're on the cross, according to Psalm 69? What did you tell them? Did you tell them that your garments were going to be divided by lots in Psalm 22, verse 18? What'd you tell them? Did you tell them that none of your bones would be broken according to the Psalm chapter 24? They said in verse 32, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way, and he opened to us the scriptures? And when Jesus opened the scriptures, he opened their eyes. Now, I saw the open tomb, went in, but I was slow to believe. Told the other disciples, and they thought I was telling an idle tale. And when I met Jesus on the way, I thought it was the gardener. And then Jesus opens the scriptures and opens their eyes. A lot of people know the scriptures, but they don't always understand them. There's a verse in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And this is what John has written. John 20, 30 and 31. It says, many other signs, miracles, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. See why we open the scriptures? It's to open your eyes so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you'll have life in his name. Number five, before Jesus ascended back to the Father, he opened his hands. He opened his hands. It's in verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands, and blessed them. Blessed them. It's not a clenched fist that Jesus uses in the text that says, I'm going to get those people for that. He doesn't say, you know, I'm going to remember everything they did for me and I'm going to get a group up and we're going to retaliate. No, he doesn't. Right before he ascends back to the Father, it's an open hand. And I bless the disciples. I've opened the scriptures and I've opened your eyes. And he blesses them. Number six, he opens the door to heaven. It's in verse 51. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And when Jesus enters heaven, he doesn't close the door behind him. He doesn't say to those who are still on earth, oh, I'm sorry, you can't come here. He doesn't say that. He opens the door to heaven. In John chapter 14, in the opening verses, this is right before his crucifixion. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. He opened the door to heaven. The last one I have. Now, because where Jesus is, we will one day go. Lord willing, if we're on his side. So the last thing, number seven in your notes, he opened a new day of grace for us. You see, just before his ascension, back to verse 46 in here in the chapter. He gave them some instructions, his last words. And he says to them in Luke 24, beginning of verse 46, he said, and you can see the different things. He says, I want repentance and remission of sins. I want it preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem, to all the nations. And he tells them, I want you to stay in the city, meaning Jerusalem, until you receive power from on high. And then, with those final words, he's lifted up, ascended into heaven. Then, 10 days later, it's 40 days after the Passover, after his crucifixion, that Jesus is ascended back to the Father. He's on earth for 40 days. 10 days after his ascension back to the Father, it's the day of Pentecost. That means 50. It's the day of celebration for the Jews, and there are devout Jews from every nation gathered on that holiday, that feast day, 50 days after the Passover. The disciples are in the right place at the right time. Remember, Jesus said in Luke 24, those last words, I want repentance, remission of sins. I want it preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem, to all nations. All those things. It's fulfilled 10 days later in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 20, 21, and 22, Jesus says to those devout Jews, by wicked hands have suffice and slain the Son of God. You did that. In verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, it says, Peter repeats it, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Then the next verse says, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. What did we just do? 50 days ago, we crucified the Son of God. We murdered the Messiah. We crucified the Christ. The obvious question is asked in verse 38. What shall we do? Is there any hope for us? I remember Jesus' last words. I want repentance, remission of sins. I want it preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. You stay in the city till you receive power from on high. In Acts chapter 2, the verse opens, the Spirit came down in the form of a dove. They received the Spirit from on high. Then Peter stands up and he preaches a forgiveness message, just like Jesus won. And so he says in verse 38, when they said, what shall we do? He said, I want you to repent. Jesus said, I want repentance. Forgiveness is preached in my name. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. Verse 40, because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The next verse says, with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves, salvation message, repentance and remission of sins, preached in his name, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to use the promise, and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Next verse, those that gladly received his word, took it to heart, were baptized. They were baptized. There were added unto that day about 3,000 souls. Verse 42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and prayers. Verse 47 says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who are those who are being saved? Back in verse 41. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. Well, that's what he preached in verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what Jesus wanted preached in Luke chapter 24. His last words, I want repentance, remission of sin, preached in my name, beginning in Jerusalem. Fits. So that's the invitation that we extend at the close of every lesson. Each Lord's Day. It's nice to know that information. Now we need to act upon it. We give the scriptures, we open scriptures so that we can open eyes. Ah, now I see. Now I see. Remember that scripture in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31? These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. That's what we want. I want life, eternal life, spiritual life in his name. Let's stand together. We'll sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Whatever will may come, if that's your resolve, if that's your desire for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning. You simply need to have your desire known to us. So let's sing the song that Dennis has selected.
375.